Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Circa Las Vegas on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Welcome in, Reno. The hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400. You got dial 775 in the north. Office is in Reno and downtown Vegas, where we are at Circa Las Vegas and in Henderson. We are going to catch up with some of the Wolfpack. That is a much different looking program, and they brought in a ton of transfers because they had a bunch of guys leave when Ken Wilson was the job was taken away from Ken Wilson. Jeff Choate takes over. It's a much different looking program, so we'll get into that. That'll be tomorrow. We'll talk a little Wolfpack football. Adam Hill is here. Mateo with the setup. Nice job by all the folks here at the Mountain West Conference. Tomorrow is Coach's Day, so we'll try to effort a convo with Choate. We're expected to talk to Barry Odom tomorrow at some point. We may not do that live. Actually, I think he's got a live spot scheduled with Tyler Bischoff and Ed Graney tomorrow at 8:30 on the press box. Back in our studio, Finley Toyota studio, Griffin is running the show. It's Big Four time. Let's do it.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
So I'm totally fascinated this hour to hear about Team USA. Got a game tonight, exhibition, Canada, over at T-Mobile. Get-in price about 2 hours ago, believe it or not, in section like 211 upstairs was 287.
Yeah.
So this one's selling well.
Yeah, I think it's gone up.
it's doing blockbuster. And it got so much hype, I thought. Good vibes. I mean, we already knew that, you know, Team USA, this group, maybe for many of them the last time they're going to play and go for a gold medal, that was going to be a big hit. But a lot of the social media that you guys all posted over at Mendenhall was a massive hit. I got to mention something that happened outside of the building, because it's funny when you see stuff go viral and you know, everyone knows we're here in Vegas, right? We've been here in Vegas for a long time and we're around UNLV a lot. I just see stuff in Mendenhall and around Mendenhall and I'm like, oh yeah, there's the...
That was me on receiver, by the way, with the Raiders facility.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By the way, we're going to get to receiver shortly after 5 o'clock, Netflix. We have too many football shows to watch, but what was this video I saw outside where people are like, Steph is the only one who stopped to sign autographs? It was right outside of Mendenhall. The door in the middle of that building is like literally a couple of hundred feet to the bus. It made it look like everyone was just being a jackass and walking right by all the fans. I don't think that's fair. Is it?
Well, I mean, I guess it's accurate in what happened. There's obviously context. It's hot, like really hot out there.
I will tell you that corridor, this is so ridiculously over the top, and no one's going to know what the hell I'm talking about. That corridor next to Mendenhall, and there's like this triangle between Cox Pavilion and the Thomas and Mack, is one of the hottest places on earth. Like when it was 120 record setting the other day, that was at McCarran. I guarantee that area right there was 132.
Well, I was actually just going to say, like, just to go in, like, behind the scenes or whatever, there's a line to get into Mendenhall for some of the fans that do have tickets, which is not a lot, and the media, because there are metal detectors right at the door. So it's like a process to get in. So there's a little bit of a line, and there was a couple of people that had tickets. And I don't know how people got tickets. It was a very limited, obviously, release. But, like, for 30 to 45 seconds are standing outside, they're like, we're gonna pass out. You might.
Oh, really?
It's hot out. It was hot out there. And you mentioned that for whatever reason, that little area, the sun is burning. Now, could they have stopped and signed? Sure. But there also is a dynamic, and I'd have to go back and look at the video. This is getting way in the weeds, but several players took the bus. Most of the players took the bus. Not everyone did. And so I think it's possible. Again, I'm not saying this happened, so I have to watch the video again to make sure. But some of the guys were like rushing out to catch the bus. And I believe Steph was taking a car. Not driving, but I mean, I think he's taking a car over to the hotel. Because he does an unreal post-practice routine. And I posted some of the video yesterday.
I saw a video. I couldn't even tell. I couldn't tell if it was current because the backdrop, I couldn't match it up perfectly with Mendenhall. I swear to God, someone posted a video where he made like 105 straight threes.
I posted one where he made like 14 or something straight.
Okay.
But he does he's doing like 50 shots at each spot in the three-point line. Then he does a bunch of free throws. Then he does a bunch of like backdoor cuts where he receives the ball and then tries to make a move at the rim to go to the other side of the rim to make shots. And then he starts taking the half-court shots, which everybody sees on social media. And then he goes through like an extensive, I would say 20-minute stretching routine with like a physical therapist to try to, you know, get his body. And this is after practice every day. And so I don't think the bus waits for him. So I think he's in his own car. So again, I'm not, I have no idea if that's why this was happening, but there is sometimes context to this stuff where if he doesn't have to catch a bus, sure, he can stay around longer.
We also have no idea what they're doing around town and the hotel they're staying in and other functions and if they're signing autographs over there. And yeah. In this case, you're like, ah, I'm going to have to get you over there.
And also, some guys had to rush to get to like media obligations or team obligations at other places. Like I know Steph a couple days earlier, I don't think stopped because he had a interview that was on ESPN.
Jerk.
Like a half hour later. So that's probably why he didn't that day. So I just think there's reasons why those things happen sometimes that you don't get the full context of.
Number three. I'm curious to see all the stories that you're going to write out of this. I know you put a bunch out. You were sort of, I think, unhatching an idea, maybe you and someone else, for a Kawhi Leonard angle. Kawhi's out, right?
He's out.
Oh, man. What happened?
Wasn't moving around terribly well.
Okay.
He really wasn't playing much in the scrimmages either, I would say. I don't think I remember seeing him at all.
Yeah.
In the scrimmages, they were saying that he was practicing, but the portions, again, we were only allowed to watch like the last 30 minutes of practice.
Right.
2-hour practices. So they were saying that he was working throughout the earlier portions when we weren't there, but really wasn't involved in the scrimmages that we watched.
I mean, listen.
And then I'll say yesterday he had to come up to the upstairs at Mendenhall.
Tough.
Didn't look great.
Yeah. I mean, USA, USA, USA. There are certain guys in the NBA who are have been injured a lot, and after a long season, it's like, should he be doing this? So he's out. Who went in?
Derek Brown.
Derek White.
Sorry. Yeah. I was mixing them up because it's Derek White because there were some players that were not happy.
Oh, really?
Including Jaylen Brown.
That's a good point.
Who sent out a tweet with some emojis that made it appear like, really? We're going to put a Celtic on the team and it's not me. Now I'm
with his own team,
reading
huh?
into that emoji a little bit, but yeah. That was certainly how a lot of people took it. I don't know. I think, look, they need role-playing defensive players that are really, really good. Probably the right guy.
Yeah. You were asking an idea potentially for some sort of combo Kawhi-Jimmer thing. Did you get to talk to Kawhi? Because Jimmer's on, what, 3-on-3?
Yeah, other people are working on that, yeah. But I was trying to help out. Yeah, sure. Kawhi Leonard making his Olympic debut, or he was going to, which is kind of surprising as somebody who's been around for a long time. Jimmer Fredette also making his Olympic debut, and they had a massive college rivalry, and a lot of it took place here in Las Vegas. So they're both here in Vegas training to get ready for the Olympics, and they're both, you know, having their career arcs very, very different, where they were at the same level in college. Kawhi has gone on to NBA superstardom. Jimmer has been kind of fighting overseas and battling a little bit in his career, and now he's making the Olympic team on the 3-on-3 team. So it's kind of cool that their arcs have crossed once again, but now Kawhi will not be playing.
Number two. You mentioned security there. We were talking about this yesterday, that the VP, Kamala Harris, showed up, and Salerno and I were both like, wait, what do you do with security? This can't be like a random pop-in. They had to have it all prepped beforehand. Did you have any idea what was happening? And I saw the video of her walking across, a bunch of photographers, handlers around her. What was it like?
Well, nobody told me it was happening, but I will say that knowing that she was in town and then seeing, I'm going to say conservatively, 100 Metro officers on motorcycles.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was like, okay.
Something's going on.
I was like, okay. It probably wasn't 100. It seemed like that. I was like, all right, well, something. And then I was like, oh, yeah, she's probably here. And, they kind of escorted us in a little early to the gym. And then she did walk in and talk to the team. Cool moment. A lot of players just kind of said they were kind of blown away by it and, you know, really impressed and glad that she was there to you know, show the support. And I'm really sad. It just reminds you, like, oh, yeah, like, we're playing for the country. That's right. The vice president is giving us a pep talk. Makes sense. So I of course, saw like immediately like, it's not a political thing. It's they're playing for the country.
I posted a thing on UNLV All Access, kind of joking around, like get it a take a little jumper, maybe mix it. The UNLV Run Rebels media, whatever, social media crew could mix it with like Pete Davidson and Adam Sandler video, and then immediately someone's like, tell her she's going to lose. I'm like, I'm not telling her anything, okay? What is this? Lighten up, Buttercup. Number one.
Number one.
Am I actually going to back Mike Gundy? Boy, that was a way to start the media days for college football, huh? Let's listen to what he said. So his star running back, Ollie Gordon, DUI, he's there less than a week later at Big 12 Media Day. And here's Gundy trying to kind of explain his thought process on no suspension.
College football is changing, we all know. We can say these guys aren't employees, but they're really employees. These guys get paid a lot of money, which is fine. There needs to be a side to what they do that they have to be able to, for lack of a better term, face the music and own up to things. I thought, okay, I'm going to be.
You're going to be what? How about be honest and just don't, let's not talk about they're different now than they were a year ago, and now they face a different level of responsibility. Yeah, we know what Oklahoma State is, and we know what you are. It's football first. And Gundy did go on to say, hey, the guy made a mistake, but you're not going to penalize him. This isn't about facing the music now because he gets money. You want him to play and you want to win football games, and the majority of your fan base is probably okay with it. Where he got himself in trouble was this whole, like, he starts going down this path about, like, what a .10 means versus a .08 and how many beers and weight, and then he talks about his drinking.
Like, in Oklahoma, it's .08, and Ollie was .1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought, really, two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life, and I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky.
Folks love the I've done that 1,000 times in my life.
I was just trying to do the math. Yeah. But how old is he? 50?
40.
If he's 50, that means he's been of drinking age for, let's just say, 29 years. So 30 years?
I mean, you could do it 1,000 times pretty easily. If you're drinking for 30 years, we'll go with the 30 years, 1,000 times. You do it 30 times a year?
That's a lot.
Well, let's go out to...
That'd be almost every weekend.
Let's go out to ABC, who's in OKC, who wanted a reaction on this as they talked to some of the people on the ground in Oklahoma and what they think of this cracking down on DUI.
Any attempt to restrict drinking and driving here is viewed by some as downright undemocratic.
It's kind of getting common. It's when a fella can't put in a hard day's work, put in 11, 12 hours a day, and then get in your truck and at least drink one or two beers.
They're making it laws where you can't drink when you want to. You have to wear a seatbelt when you're driving. Pretty soon we're going to be communist country.
Yep. That was audio from yesterday. Vast Sound Crew. You found it.
There's literally no way that's
What are you
true.
Talking about?
There's no way that's real.
That was actually from yesterday in Oklahoma. No that's way. How they feel about
that's
it.
That's a sketch of some sort.
That was actually a real news report, I think, from like 1978. But okay. But it's still a blow. You don't think they saw most Okie State fans are like, you're right, Coach Gundy. You're doing the right thing. You teach that kid by giving them the ball 50 times in game one.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Circa Las Vegas on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yep, Circa the bands. Adam knows how much I love bands. I love drums. He's a denier. He says I'm lying, but nope, I got all fired up. Live? Oh, no. I wish Adam had a look at the cameras right now. We got a crew, quite the crew, over at Allegiant today, covering Big 12 Media Day. Oh, come on, Arash. Arash! Squeezing into the shot with one Willie Ramirez. I wish we were streaming live right now. We're not. We're recording. We'll put it out later. Willie!
What's happening?
What's up, buddy? Oh, look at this. Repping the Sporting Tribune. It's got the banner in the background.
The entire Allegiant Stadium. Let me tell you something, because go ahead and go with the first topic here, because I know what's coming. And let me tell you about Prime's entrance, because there was somebody who made a bigger entrance than Prime.
Oh, wow. Deion Day. Deion Sanders Day at Allegiant for the Big 12. So who had the better entrance, and who's this mystery person?
So we see Deion. They have on one side of Allegiant, you know, both sides, they have the lounges right behind the benches, the sidelines. And one is for the media lounge and one is the team lounge. So we see Deion arrive and he comes in, goes back to the lounge. But when he's making his entrance to the stage, he's got an entourage with the cameras and everybody following him and the big hoorah. But who do I see making the turn around the row of media, rolling through people like a bodyguard? One and only Arash Markazi, bulldozing over and through people, camera in hand, tailing one prime Sanders.
Oh, wow. Probably bettering what Adam Hill could have done.
The way that Arash was rolling through with the suit and the Air Force Ones, I believe, or Dunks, I couldn't tell who was making the entrance.
Nice. So what was it like, and did Willie Ramirez get a question in?
I did get a question in. It was as much as you think it would be build up with Deion Sanders entering an arena. When I say entourage, it was cameras everywhere following him. No other coach yesterday or today had that big of a following leading him up to the stage. And I got the first question of the day. I was handed the mic right off the bat.
Okay.
And I wanted to know sort of if he feels basically where he's gone from Jackson State to Colorado, from the HBCU to the Pac-12 to the Big 12, if he carries a bigger obligation or he feels that he does. And apparently it went viral.
Okay.
Because he went off on a little bit of a tangent that, of course, he does. His wins mean more than mine. Because he actually said, you know, my wins are bigger than your wins. And he went on to explain why he has an obligation to perform at a higher level. And I asked Shador later about that and Shiloh. And they both said, we've been doing that since we were little boys.
Willie Ramirez is over at the Big 12 Media Day at Allegiant Day 2, Deion Sanders Day today, the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. A lot of bluster last year, sort of fizzled at the end of the season, but there's high expectations this year. I got to follow up with one other thing. Better dressed? Was he wearing a suit? Did you match him? How'd that go?
He had on, I don't know if they were jeans, but he had a Becky Hammon look on. He had a Colorado hoodie, a white hoodie with gold wording, Buffaloes or Colorado, whatever, and a black sport coat. And I believe he had jeans on with sneakers.
So you're a dress fancier?
A little bit, probably.
Okay.
I got slacks with the crew neck, the red blazer, and Alexander McQueen's.
Nice. You're so humble. I heard Deion said your jacket was great.
He did. So See? Did several
Lobbing the softball,
people.
Man. Once Slap he, it out of the once park.
Once he complimented, then people were, no joke, people were like, Deion was right, so on and so forth. One Desiree Reed Francois stopped me and said the same thing. Once Deion Sanders comments on the big screen, then I said, well, come on, yeah. Desiree.
You know what's funny with DRF? I was like, why is the Missouri AD there? Oops, I forgot. She already moved on to Arizona, and now Arizona is in the Big 12.
Have you checked today? She moved on from Arizona yet?
Oh, is there rumors of that?
I'm sure.
Okay. Don't be a smartass. I'm like, I might have missed it. I might have missed it. Maybe she'll be over here tomorrow. I'd like this here.
Sure.
All right. I know
she
you were hoping.
A special place in her heart.
Your guy Arroyo was going to show up even as an OC at the
sure.
Big 12.
That'd be great.
Yeah. You break some bread, mend some fences. All right, Willie. So was there any follow-up today? Did anyone – I mean, I don't even see how it would mix in, but I'm sure Radio Row was talking about it. But were any of the coaches pressed on what Mike Gundy said yesterday and, you know, player responsibility and penalties and any of that?
No. The only thing that came up, and this may have helped defray all of that, and I don't know if it was planned, but the fact that Gundy brought Deion Sanders up yesterday, I'm wondering if it was sort of an obligatory return or if Deion was doing it to sort of maybe, I don't know, defray the conversation, but he brought him up. He was in his initial sort of speech that he delivered before we asked questions. And he sort of praised Mike Gundy, said he was a legend in the conference, and gave it. He mentioned two or three guys. A couple of the guys that had recruited Shadur, and then he brought up Gundy, and I didn't hear much of the talk of what he spoke. I mean, there were people, you know, among conversation away from the dais, you know, reporters talking about it. A couple of people that I spoke with, you know, they brought it up. But as far as in front of a microphone, no, it was not part of the talk.
Big, one of the bigger stories of the day. Adam, go ahead if you want to go. I'm sorry.
It was going to be obnoxious. I was going to say, are we sure he didn't get up to 1,001 times driving drunk? He only said 1,000 yesterday.
I knew people were going to latch onto that one, Willie.
Well, he didn't get to speak, and we don't know how many he had after yesterday's media day appearance. So it's possible, although I don't know if he has a rental car. If he had an Uber, then he couldn't be at 1,001.
Willie, what else did you notice in terms of storylines today or good conversations that you had? Anything else pop?
To be honest with you, not really. Because I think that the Sanders crew and entourage sort of took away from everything. And the second that, because actually both sons made themselves available in the middle of the field, even though they had it broken up where the coaches went in the morning at one end, and at the other end where they did the player availability, it wasn't like till 2:30. But the players yesterday and today, they walked around, they made themselves available. They were very approachable. So I got everything that I needed, and that was my assignment for today. So I didn't really sit in for a lot of the other coaches, but it seemed like a lot of the attention was surrounding Deion Sanders and his sons. It wasn't a lot of, outside of like the school journalists and the radio stations that came here, on Radio Row, and then the beat writers following their specific coaches and players. I think yesterday there was probably more of a buzz.
I'll tell you what I do think is interesting and a great angle. For all the mocking that was done on the breakup of the Pac-12, it's funny. Two of the top five teams in the preseason poll come from the supposedly weaker Pac-12, and that includes Utah and Arizona both in the top five, and Arizona, even in fifth place with three first-place votes, is way ahead of massive budget schools. You want to talk about being able to go out and buy players. Texas Tech and TCU and Baylor. Ain't that something, huh?
Yeah, that was one of the talks yesterday, was that the newcomer in the bunch is the favorite. Kyle Whittingham, I had a little short talk with him. We walked across the field to a spot he had to do on ESPNU, and he sort of just shrugged it off and said it's something that they become used to. But it is interesting that those two Pac-12 teams out of 16, you know, are that high up. I'm not surprised about Utah. I mean, we've watched them the past few years. Cam Rising is back after missing last season. Talented bunch. So I'll tell you, the team I'm intrigued with the most, I think, is going to be Oklahoma State, especially with them not serving any penalties to Ollie oxen free. With what they got coming back, I'm going to be interested to see what they do to start the season if they come out. That and Kansas State. Just because of the way that they ended last year, this young kid, Avery Johnson, he's sort of playing with the chip on his shoulder. He went into the Pop-Tart Bowl. And
our favorite game.
It's the best game.
Yeah.
No, Cheez-It Bowl. I love the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes.
Last one, Willie. Willie Ramirez checking in over at Big 12 at the Owl as Big 12 Media Days shutting down pretty soon. All the coaches were in town. Arizona State's actually picked in the bottom of the conference. Colorado is picked 11th. There was one other thing of note with Utah. Utah's here 2027 in the kickoff game against Miami. Did Whittingham basically admit, hey, you know what, 2027 is probably a long shot that I'm the coach?
He did not. He did not allude to anything of him leaving. And the only thing that was brought up about 2027, looking down the road, was whether or not the Big 12 was going to align itself with the Las Vegas Bowl. But the Las Vegas Bowl has to ride out the contract with the Pac-12, the legacy members is what they're calling them. So all the members that were in the Pac-12 last year, they're still tied into the Las Vegas Bowl with the format that as we know it with the SEC and the Big Ten. In a couple of years, from my understanding, the commissioner has sort of approached informally John Cecenti and said, we want in.
All right, Willie, we know you're busy, dude. We'll talk to you. Maybe I'll see you later on at that Pac-2 meetup. Thank you for checking in.
All right, guys.
And for folks who are curious, UNLV opponents, Houston is 15th in the preseason poll, and Kansas is the number 4 pick. They're going to be really good again this year.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Circa Las Vegas. On ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Circle Las Vegas, Mountain West Conference Media Days. We won't be here tomorrow because we're going to get booted. Wait, you got to get some sleep, man. You're punchy. You spent the whole break sizing up kicking a can of soda into a garbage can 13 feet away.
First of all, you were doubting that I could do it.
I think you have no leg drive.
No, I would have kicked way too far. That would have been the problem.
Well, you have no control. You're super powered.
Also, it's true. Well, it's tough. I think it's tough as somebody who has studied punting quite extensively.
That is your room.
The drop is so important, and yeah. I don't feel like you can get the right drop. I think the drop of the can is unpredictable. Mm-hmm. So when you drop the can, it's going to be tough to get it at the right spot on your foot to control where the can is going to go if you punt it. So I was going to punt into a trash can was my plan for an empty can. I was sizing it up, and then some of the big wigs from the Mountain West Conference came by, and I said, it probably wouldn't look great if I'm trying to punt a can down a hallway here at the circus. So I decided not to.
Adam's covering Team USA and Canada tonight at T-Mobile.
Also, I don't think jeans are conducive to punting cans. I feel like if I had shorts on, I probably would have done it.
Kawhi Leonard's out, so he's off the team. He's dumped out. Derek White is in. Why Derek White over Cooper Flag?
You mean Caitlin Flag?
There is going to be a little bit of that feel. Cooper Flag just dominated a scrimmage the other day against USA. I saw all the highlights.
You were there? I was there. I watched it, so I saw. I feel like when you actually talk about things like this, that it's looked at as like you're throwing cold water, you're like pushing back. He was unbelievable for like a 3-minute stretch. It was stunning. Now, could you fight back and say, the end of a scrimmage, bunch of the Team USA guys were not going all out. He took advantage of that with some really high energy plays. Yeah, I guess so. But he is also 17 going into some NBA guys. He had a 3-minute stretch where he was unbelievable. Now, maybe the rest of the 9 minutes or so he was in didn't do anything. But those 3 minutes were incredible, and I think tell that he's going to be a very, very exciting player. I got a lot of people reaching out to me. I've been watching the best players on planet Earth practice all week. Nobody's cared. I had like 30 texts. Yep. Were you watching Cooper Flag? I'm like, all right.
Say it again. Not Cooper. Say it again.
What?
Caitlin.
Caitlin Flag?
Or Cooper Clark.
Cooper Clark. I mean, they're the same
person. Caitlin's younger brother, Cooper Clark.
Same person.
I mean, I think it's – you've got 8 teams in the NBA that are now going to tank 1,000,000,000%.
They can't talk about it. The first question is –
got a tank for Cooper.
The first question to Steve Kerr after that scrimmage was, what do you think about Cooper? Like, can't talk about him. Prospective draft pick. Can't do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Tampering.
He was awesome. But I don't want to be the person that's like, everybody else said he was good. Why are you saying he wasn't good? He was incredible for that stretch. Incredible. I mean, the best player on the floor.
Why are you going
with
so
five Hall of Famers?
You think it's going to come back on you?
No, I'm just saying, like, that was how good he was for 3 minutes. But it was 3 minutes. His talent is very impressive. I think he's going to be a really good player.
Griffin, you writing it down? Adam Hill says Cooper Flag, not that good.
I thought it was Caitlin Flag.
Cooper Clark.
Cooper Clark.
Actually, that's the way we'll write it, too. It'll be Cooper Flag / Cooper Clark /
I just think
Caitlin Flag. What?
Yeah, I think
That one does. Oh, you like that one the best?
Yeah.
It's exciting. Next year's draft is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
This year's college basketball season, if you hate Duke, not so exciting.
Probably not great.
Going to be really annoying.
It's going to be tough to watch.
Yes. And he will be here. I think it's November 26th.
Yeah. It'll be a good game. Actually, I had somebody reach out to me yesterday that said, man, if he really was that good, I'm so excited for college basketball now. This is going to be great to have a big star.
What?
And then I said, yeah, he's on Duke.
And then what?
That's it. And the person said, oh, yeah.
Like, I hate it now.
Basically, yes.
We're going to talk to UNLV linebacker Jackson Woodard in about 20 minutes. Caleb Herring next hour as well.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Circa Las Vegas on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Football season's here, media days, Mountain West Conference. We just checked into the Big 12. You get the football feel that way. You got reality shows like Hard Knocks offseason with the Giants. Wide Receiver is out on Netflix. Can't wait to watch that one. Devontae Adams was doing some publicity for this. Is that what happened, where he was making the rounds and he talked to Kay Adams?
He did a big media tour yesterday. I think it was from a hotel room, which was interesting. And I randomly noticed, because I watched about six of these interviews, he changed his hair for, like, all of them.
Really?
I was like, okay, good job.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I mean, yeah.
I don't have six variations.
It's true.
It's weird how that works. Here's Devontae as I don't know if this is a work or if the – L.A. Chargers, we know their social media team is great. Did they really upset Devontae Adams?
They posted me and then like a trash can or something like that, the Chargers did. So, but I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot 141 yards and a touchdown. I just wanted to kind of remind them what they've been going through as it pertains to playing against me. The people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault. They didn't have anything to do with the posts, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth and show some.
Hello. Woo! Man, he's mad.
Yes.
Chargers. Those Chargers.
Do you know the post
about? Well, what is Harbaugh doing?
Yeah.
I've heard of the – it's a woman who runs the social media department, right?
Yeah.
They're really good. They're really creative.
They're great.
They make the SO at home – my significant other, very happy with their material.
The post in particular that he's talking about is they did a schedule release in Pop-Tart form.
Right.
And the Raiders Pop-Tart was just garbage flavor.
Garbage flavored.
Okay. It just so happened to be a picture of Devontae. They weren't calling Devontae garbage or
yes,
trash.
They were.
They were calling
yes, they were. Give me more Devontae. Yes, they were. Don't try to change it.
Devontae, I feel like you're at this point of your career where you're just letting it fly.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
Well, good luck week one at SoFi.
Yeah, good luck. It'll be a home game. Who's the oldest person in the media?
Ageist.
Yeah. Who's the oldest person in the Raiders media?
The Raiders media?
Granny?
Carp?
Is it Mr. Scoop?
That could be.
Is it Chris Matthews? I think Chris would stand up and be like, what do you mean by the old man comment?
He would ask it. He would laugh.
I'd like a statement on this.
He would laugh. He would smile. He's too friendly.
Devontae.
He couldn't really push him on it.
Did you guys follow up today? He was like, out of context. That's not what I said.
Well, there's no availability today. Maybe we would have. I would have said, you know they weren't calling you trash, right? Are you just trying
Please.
To draw?
The only reason you need to follow up on this is because there will be half of Raider Nation that'll be like, stupid question!
Of course.
Non-topic! Football!
Of course.
He's the one who said he's going to continue to make it rough for the Chargers.
He opened the door.
It's football. We want more.
And he's going to say whatever comes to his mind because that's what old men do. He's an ageist.
I kind of think I'd like to hang around his grandpa.
Sounds fun.
Says whatever he wants.
Says whatever he wants.
We're not there yet. We're getting close, though.
I mean, you're closer.
Yes, I am. I am. He also, did he squeal on Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to be suspended?
For tampering?
Yeah.
Players are allowed to. I think we've established that before.
We have?
Yeah. Players can. Front offices can't.
He said of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I thought you were playing him. No.
Said he said of Aaron Rodgers, quote, he's in the ear, that's for sure, trying to get him to play for the Jets.
Well, so is Josh Jacobs. He talked about that. Josh Jacobs reached out and said, come back to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Everybody wants Devontae to come play with them, for sure. And, you know, I'm sure if things go south, I'll say I was on with Q before us over on Raider Nation Radio, and he had a poll question. If the Raiders are struggling at the trade deadline, should they move on from one of their big-name players? And I said, Q. The question is, should they move on from Devontae Adams? Why are you making a generic big-name player? This obviously would be the guy that they would trade in that scenario. And I'm not saying he wants out or should be traded. It's like if there's a guy that you have that's an asset that's worth something that you could potentially trade, it's Devontae Adams, and every team in the league would be interested in Devontae Adams. I still think the best receiver in the league. If not, he's in the top three. Like, he's incredible.
What would he fetch? If he's having a good year, what would he fetch in a midseason trade?
It depends what he would want to do contract-wise in terms of renegotiating or doing that. But I think because of the money, probably like a second and a third, something like that. I think you could, if you get in a bidding war, you could probably get a first. It's obviously not what he's worth. He's worth probably like three firsts. But that's not how trades work in the NFL.
Well, they do when it's a real priority position.
Well, receiver is a priority position.
No. On the Brian Burns thing, that's a priority position. Didn't they trade 2 1s for him?
No.
Oh, wasn't that big?
No, 2 2s, I thought.
Oh, okay, 2 2s.
Yeah.
The chatter at the camp was 2 1s.
Right. The Panthers said, would you give us 2 1s for
him? 2 1s, okay.
Like, no.
And Burns got $29 million a year.
And that's the thing. Like, the money that you get does decrease what the offer that you get in terms of compensation for picks.
Are your plans all set for California in these 3 weeks at their new training camp?
Yeah.
Any update on fan access?
Well, there's going to be 2 practices at Allegiant Stadium when they come back.
In California. Is there any access for the fans down there? Which I figure that's why, you know, it's a good option to get out of the heat. It's a good option to, you know, potentially get in front of the California fans, but as of now, they're still not allowed in.
We'll tell that to the Chargers and the Rams, who are blocking the Raiders from allowing fans.
They are.
Yeah.
Territorial rights?
Yep. Still their territory. They are not allowed to market their franchise, and the Rams and Chargers have said this is marketing your franchise, which it is.
It is. It's very short-sighted, though. I mean, I guess throwing out there, like, do it for the good of the league. The league already has a lot of good. I got to build up the league.
What's the league need?
I feel like Vegas to Costa Mesa ain't much different than Woodland Hills to Costa Mesa.
Well, right now, Vegas to Costa Mesa is about the same as, like, Summerlin to Henderson.
Oh, no.
With the construction the way it's going.
Nothing's changed. I haven't been down there in like 2 weeks.
It's preposterous.
And you've got to cover all these events.
It's silly. Well, if I can just leave the house at 5 a.m. after staying up all night to watch receiver, it's fine. No worries.
You threw the hint in there, or the little mention. What's going on with the open practices here?
I think it's August 14th and 20th at Allegiant Stadium.
Wow.
Going to practice over at the big building and let people come in and watch them. It's much easier to do it there than it is logistically to get them into the facility. So I think that'll be cool.
Good idea.
Plus you get players a feel for the stadium and getting over there. It's such a little thing, but it's a big thing to the players that I've talked to, like rookies in the past, that are like, play your first game and you're like, I don't even know where the locker room is. I don't know where the stadium is. Where do I park? Like, all those things. So it's good to get them over there, show them the ropes a little bit, show them the building, and get them acclimated.
As you get ready for them in Costa Mesa, which is coming up when?
I'll be there July 22nd.
So 12 days. Man, it came quick.
I have a vacation before that.
12 days. You're a deep diver on stories.
Sure.
It's not just going to be every day, Akon, and Minshew Mania.
No, there's a lot of developments in the kickoff rule.
Man, you were jacked. We posted the video from last week. I forgot how enthused you were. You're not kidding.
No.
And by the way, I mean, like in the past, the whole, all the reporting on the, you know, the long snapper and the kicking room, funny.
What do you mean? I wrote two columns on the long snapper last year.
I know you did. Funny.
Not funny, real.
Now it matters. Serious. Now this kickoff thing freaking matters.
Of course it does.
This is going to be amazing.
It is, but it's not, because I do think they're going to start kicking out of bounds again, or out of the back of the end
what?
Again.
I thought you gave us a hint on what it was going to be.
Yeah, but there's going to be too many returns. They're just going to kick it out of the back of the end zone and say, yeah, it sucks to have you starting at the 30. It's better than you starting at, like, our 10.
Where do they actually kick off from?
30.
Okay.
But they have to land it between the 20 and the goal line.
All right. I thought you hinted at A.J. Cole would be the guy.
He's practicing.
He can't hit freaking bombs and land it in there?
No. The problem is you can't. You can land it in there, of course. You can't allow a team to catch it or catch it on one hop. You have to make it roll around or bounce around. So you have to figure out a way to bounce it and make it spin around or take some funny hops. You have to do something where a team cannot catch it in the air or on one hop. If they do, you're going to give up a big return.
All right. Next best angle after that.
Long snapper again?
Stop. I figured you had a whole – you have this all laid out.
No, I do.
Or you didn't let it kind of unfold in front of you.
We'll
then.
Be doing position-by-position breakdowns of training camp previews coming up very soon. Of course, the quarterback battle is number one. I think kickoffs, but everybody else thinks quarterback for sure is coming up as potential storylines. Who emerges as the second corner I think is a very big story. How much Tyree Wilson is lined up on the inside, which I think is going to be – a lot.
Is he big enough?
He's huge.
How big do you think he is now?
340?
He's not 340.
He's huge.
His upper body's gigantic.
He's giant.
Yes.
He's a massive human being. And he was already super tall. Now he's just huge.
Yeah.
It was.
Stanford route often reminds us of Richard Seymour, who could play end and also could play inside, who was just a massive human being at like 6'6 and 295.
And, like, I was. I mean, we're joking about being 340, whatever, but it was jarring how much weight he's put on this offseason.
The photo, there was a photo with him separated by someone else and Max Crosby, and I was like, Max looks like he weighs 220 pounds. He looks tiny.
Yeah. Look,
and he's not tiny.
Look, I was around Tyree Wilson, like, every day last year. I know who he is and what he looks like. I walked by him. I was like, that dude's huge. And then I was like, wait. I was like, wait, is that Tyree? It was stunning.
Do you think he's just finally happy?
There might be certain
teammates. You really got into that story. And by the way, I don't know if you ever watched the Yankees Bronx Zoo thing, which you need to watch it from 1990. And a lot of it is about Mel Hall. And there's a lot of creepy stuff with Mel Hall, like really creepy stuff. But part of the story with Mel Hall back with those Yankees, as they made a transition to the Jeter, Bernie Williams, Posada, you know, Rivera, Pettit, Yankees, Mel Hall was still there, and Mel Hall tortured, was just a jerk all the time to Bernie Williams.
I don't think certain players were jerks or bullies
yeah.
to Tyree Wilson, but I think their energy vampire nature.
Oh, I love that term. We love that. We love that in radio, too. Thank you, Johnny Gruden.
Their energy vampire nature really made him – really drained him of his energy. That's kind of what that term came from. I think it dragged him down, and I think he can be a little freer this year without certain players in the locker room near him.
So he just ate a ton, put on the weight the right way.
He worked out.
Yeah, well, that's all of his angst.
Yeah.
That SOB is gone. 5 o'clock hours on the way. Cofield and Company live at Circa on this Wednesday.